But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Kyle talks on Mondays. There's the injury update on everything and perspective on what happened the day before. Here's Kyle Shanahan with his Monday conference.
All right, guys, injuries from the game. Ben Bartsch ended up having a high ankle sprain. Most likely will go on IR later this week. Isaac Grendel, foot sprain. We'll evaluate him over the next few days, see if he's got a shot. D. Winters, ankle day-to-day. And Malik Mustafa, chest, shoulder. He's day-to-day also. That's it.
Kyle, is the plan still to have Dre Greenlaw be able to play on Thursday night?
There's a chance to. We'll see. You know, I haven't talked to him yet, so we'll see when he gets in here tomorrow how he's feeling, how practice goes Tuesday and Wednesday, and make our decision then.
Kyle, do you have updates on Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, the other guys?
Yeah, Nick Bosa, still in the same situation. We'll evaluate him as this week goes. Trent, no different. Aaron Banks cleared the protocol, so he should be good to go. And Flanagan Fowles, he's also still day-to-day with his knee.
After looking at the film, how did you feel Talanoa did out there with Malik Mustafa?
I thought he did a real good job. Loved having Huff back. Even the first play of the game for him to get in on that tackle, his communication, everything, just helping the defense get lined up and stuff is extremely good. And it's a real good first game for him.
Kyle, what went into that decision? How difficult was it to go with Malik as a starter over Jair Brown?
Just how Malik's been playing. You know, I think he's been playing at a high level. He's been one of the better players on our defense, I think, here over the last month or so. So it's nothing against Tig. We still want Tig to be out there. But when we had to make a decision, we kept Mustafa out there.
Do you feel like Jair Brown's production on the field or play on the field is maybe, I mean, I know he played really well last year. Is it up to that standard or is it a little bit less?
No, I think it's the same as last year. I think Tig's playing like a good starting safety. You know, we just, Huff's, you know, been our guy there and has done some big things when he's been healthy, as everyone knows with Huff. And Huff had a great week of practice and we wanted to get him on the field. And we had to choose one guy to come off. So we felt Mustafa had earned that, you know, over this play the last month to stay out there. And we're good with our decision.
Kyle, obviously Brock is fine. I mean, he talked about that kind of strange hit he took at the end of the game. He went back in. There's no problem with him at all?
Yeah, no problem at all. I mean, he talked that way, you know, play after it. He seemed fine, but you never know until the next day. And but trainers talking to him and stuff, he felt good. And no lingering issues from that play.
The defensive line, Caleb Williams, quite a bit. What did you see from the defensive line in their production? It seemed like they were performing pretty well.
Yeah, I just loved how they rushed as a group, gave them very few exit windows. You know, I thought we had really good coverage, which took away the number one most of the time, number two a lot of the time, and whenever he had to get to number three, our D-line was there. So I just think collectively and individually, they had a really good game.
Well, it seems like Patrick Taylor might be forced to start. Obviously, you didn't necessarily view him, I'm sure, in a starting role, but you know how this goes. What attracted you guys to him in the offseason and led you to acquire him?
We look for guys who have the ability to make your team. And in order to have the ability to make your team, you got to have the running skills that we like, to where we feel if your opportunity ever comes that you're going to be a tough runner who hits the right holes and fights for yards. And also, if you can't make one of those top two positions, how well you can help on special teams. So he had done both of those things in his career at Green Bay, and he's been doing them for us since he got here. And, you know, if Isaac can't go, it'll be his opportunity. And I think as you guys saw him run yesterday, or as we did earlier in the year versus Seattle, he's a solid good back.
Isaac, after the game, didn't have a boot on. It seemed like he was putting his shoes on like there was no problem. But sometimes I guess the next morning is more difficult. That he's was it was is he like 50-50, you think, or do you have any idea for Thursday?
The only idea that I have is what I told you guys. I mean, he's got an ankle sprain and definitely couldn't go today. You know, so we'll see if he can go on Thursday, but definitely can't go today. It's a quick turnaround, so we got to evaluate him hard each day. I'll be surprised if he does much tomorrow, but hopefully Thursday will be enough time for him.
And Kyle, with Juwan Jennings, what strikes you most about his progression at split end, and what have been some of the coaching points that go into that?
I mean, just lining up in some different spots, and, you know, he still says it's different verbiage and everything. You know, he's listened to certain words and stuff that tell him to do things and where to line up and everything for his whole time here. And then when you move to a position he hasn't ever played before, it's just completely different verbiage and stuff on how to get him lined up, some of the spots in the field he's at. But, you know, Juwan just, he does it like he does everything. I mean, Juwan goes as hard as he can in every single situation. Doesn't matter whether it's the ball's in his hands, he's running a route or he's blocking. Doesn't matter whether it's a deep throw, an underneath throw in practice or in games. Juwan is always just going 100 miles an hour and playing as physical as he can.
In this compacted time frame, have you already put the Bears game to bed with the players? Have they seen everything and you've gone over it with them?
No, we don't ever address that on a Thursday night game. Players do all rehab and stuff today. The coaches come in, and we put it to bed as coaches to correct our mistakes and everything, but we do it a lot faster than we normally do because right now it's, in our mind, it's, you know, it's already Tuesday afternoon as coaches, and in a few hours it's got to be Wednesday afternoon because you got to get into the third downs and nickel and everything. And, you know, so we have everything ready for the guys tomorrow. It's kind of a crammed week and kind of gotten used to it over the years on these Thursday night games. It's a tough 4 days, but it can lead to a really fun 3 days if you handle your business right.
What was your sense
last night that it had been some time since you had players speak at the team meeting on Saturday night, but that you had asked Demo and Brock to speak? Kind of what went into that decision and why did you think it was important?
I mean, just trying to change it up. Sometimes I'll have somebody speak differently and just to switch up the routine a little bit. But I mean, I just, when you ask guys to speak, you want to make sure it's guys that people truly respect and they respect how they play and how they carry themselves and how important the job is to them. And those are two guys who, we got a number of guys like that on our team, but those two guys, I just know how much our team respects them on and off the field.
What was your sense last week watching the new guy, Abanacanda, practice just as far as, you know, how quickly he would be able to get into the mix if you needed a third running back?
I mean, he's meeting with Bobby and everybody extra. He's getting his reps on the field. So, you know, we script it all, so it comes along out there, but that's more in the meeting room and everything, just being able to line up and do everything we ask. And, you know, as opportunities getting closer, you know, especially Isaac getting banged up. So you always got to have three guys in the building in case situations like this happen. And hopefully it doesn't have to come to that. But if it does, we expect him to be ready.
Kyle, how do you feel about Thursday Night Football? It's arguably the biggest game to date when we're talking about the 49ers playing the Rams for NFC playoff purposes. And you're having to do it on a 72-hour turnaround. When I asked you, I don't think I feel sorry for you or Sean McVay, but I do feel for, like, Grindel, Troy Greenlaw on the other side, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. Like, what are your thoughts on TNA?
I mean, I think there's good things and negative things to it. I think that's why the players all kind of like it. It's also when you're hurting from the Sunday game. Sometimes it's why guys can't go on the Thursday game where they could go on Sunday. Just kind of depends on how the day went before and how they're going. But I think when you are feeling good and you're able to pull it off, I do think the guys really appreciate the 3-day bye week. You don't get many breaks in this league. You know, and, you know, with all, you only getting one bye week, and one bye week in 17 weeks isn't enough. So I think sometimes it's crucial to have these Thursday night games because it is great for the mental and for the health physically for guys to get away for these 3 days. But it is always such a huge challenge when guys are banged up that they're just not ready to go on 4 days rest where they could be on seven. So it's got its pluses and minuses to it.
Now, you said, I think I'm representing this correctly, but you said last night, this team is filled with gritty guys, and a lot of those guys are your best leaders, but you felt like sometimes that grit or whatever hasn't been there at the end of games. You've been doing this a long time. I mean, all teams are different, dynamics are different, but can you put your finger on maybe what has been missing or why that has been?
There isn't a one thing to say. It comes down to making the plays and getting it done when you are in those situations. And, you know, I could say you're not in those situations every single week. You know, we were versus Tampa Bay and we got it done. So I can say that was a real gritty win and we played with some grit there at the end, but I mean, that's just trying to put a word on the situation. It's how hard these games are to come by at the end. And teams that can pull those off consistently usually are the teams that are in the playoffs. And when we have been in those situations, we haven't pulled many of them off this year. You know, I always keep going back to those three games we lost. And, you know, Tampa was the opposite. We were able to get that one done. but usually most teams are going to be in a lot of those games, and you got to win more than you lose. And it hadn't been that case for us, and we wanted to make sure that coming into this game, we knew our backs were against the wall, and we thought it was going to be an opportunity to come out and show that we can do that and finish it no matter what happens. And I think we came out so well at the beginning, and we continued that you know, we were able to be a little bit more comfortable there at the end, which is always more fun, but we were prepared for any type of game, and we plan on winning that any way it would go. All right, guys, thanks.
All right, thank you, Kyle.
Yep.
There goes Kyle Shanahan. He's all done for the day. And the Isaac Garendo update is interesting. He said obviously he was not ready to go today. He said he'd be surprised if he's ready to go tomorrow. And then after that, it's what can you do on Wednesday to sort of prove your readiness for Thursday? This thing comes so damn fast. So he also said, with regard to Abanaconda, quote, his opportunity is on its way. And so I don't know exactly what that means. If he would be up to speed enough to start in place of Garendo, or if he would just tuck into the room behind Patrick Taylor and Keyshawn Vaughn, I don't know exactly how this is going to look. But it's unbelievable what has happened to the 49er backfield this year. I mean, people don't even remember the name Eli Mitchell. And that happened all the way back preseason. McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, on down the line.
Garendo now.
Don't forget that Garendo, remember, I mean, we went out to camp. He got hurt like 5 minutes after camp started.
Yeah.
And missed the majority of camp. So I know it's been a year where people really want to take shots at Kyle Shanahan's play calling. I'd like to bring up something that I haven't heard all year. This is another brick on the wall for the Shanahan run game. Like, Jordan Mason is still one of the top 15 rushers in the NFL, and he's barely played in the last month and a half. So we are again, then you watch what Garendo does yesterday, and we are again having another year where, again, I'm not saying McCaffrey is replaceable, but you're getting production out of the backfield from him, who, he, how,
yeah, them,
every single year. It is another one of those years.
Yeah, it's going to be that way for the most part because Shanahan loves to run the ball. You run it a lot, and when you run the football that much, guys are going to get dinged up. Guys are going to get hurt, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, you look at now and Keyshawn Vaughn and Patrick Taylor, it's next man up. Abanaconda, as you have mentioned before, maybe he gets into the box score as well. But I'm also concerned about the offensive line, whether or not Trent will be back. Ben Bartsch likely going on IR, so you're going to have...
But Banks is cleared and will be back.
Right.
So he slides right back into the...
A little bit of a shuffle.
Yeah, the spot.
And, you know, it's been the interior offensive line that's been a problem for the most part all year long. So, you know, Bosa's a big one. If he can go, that changes my outlook a little bit on the game. And Trent, I mean, how do you put a timetable on that? You know, you just can't. Because it's not only the personal tragedy losing... not one, but two babies, but also he's got an ankle. So it's not like he's 100% healthy, and when his emotions and his feelings get better, he can play. He's dealing with an injury as well.
What a year, but at the same time, I also understand where people are coming from when, and I think this is sort of the core of what Grandy and Lucas were getting at earlier and talking about, boy, if you guys had that pitch in your holster, why haven't you been throwing it? There was one thing that Kyle Shanahan said that I get why it might shoot something up your spine. And 888-957-9570 if you want to react to this. But Kyle said, we knew our backs were up against the wall in this one. And I totally get it if a fan goes, dude, you just felt that yesterday?
Right.
That's the first time you felt like your back was up against the wall? I don't know. And again, feeling something and thinking something is very different than going out and executing on a football field. But I remember us talking about it. I did not feel like they could lose the game against Seattle. That was not a losable game to me. And until I'm proven wrong, I will stick by that. Because, boy, would this thing feel different. Like that game alone, that drive by Geno Smith is literally the only thing stopping the Niners from being in first place right now. Think about that.
Well, that and the Ram game and the Arizona game.
No, but if Geno Smith, if they stop him on that drive, they are 7-6, and so are the Seahawks, and the Niners have the tiebreaker over them. They would be sitting there at least in a three-way tie, along with the Rams, who I grant you would right now have, I guess, the breaker over the Niners, but it'd be three-way, which changes everything.
Yep.
Like that, they couldn't do that. They could not do that, and they did it. And I think it's fair to at least, who knows, maybe they did feel that way and they just didn't play well. But if George Kittle's talking about we finally showed urgency, if Kyle Shanahan's saying, you know, our backs were up against the wall, I'm sitting here going, dude, that was already the case. That was already the case when Seattle visited Levi's Stadium. And if in some way you guys weren't collectively feeling that, then that is a demerit, if you will.
No doubt.
At least for that football game, to me.
Well, and it was more than just the defense, and I'm remembering the game right now. You had to punt, and O'Donnell punts it into the end zone. 42-yard punt and a 22-yard net. So in a time where you're punting from the 42, maybe you can down it inside the 5 or inside the 10 and you can put Seattle in a tough spot. And then it was a lot of the same from Nick Sorensen's defense, playing milquetoast, not bringing extra pressure and allowing Seattle to go for 11, 5, 8, 7. Jackson Smith Njigba is the name that I'm remembering from that drive.
He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
He is a really good player. And lovely Christy, actually, who has DK Metcalf on her fantasy team, asked me yesterday, hey, what the hell's going on with DK? He's always got a Q next to his name, and they don't throw the ball to him. I said, yeah, I think they like this Jackson Smith and Jigba guy. He's kind of taken over.
Yeah.
He's him. He's him.
Yeah,
he's
and they are a weird team where...
They're a very weird team.
You keep waiting for them to kind of regress to the mean fall back to earth, and they just don't. Where's
the other shoe going to drop?
Right?
But they've won 4 games in a row, and nobody thinks they're very good. It's odd.
Well, two of their last 3 wins were against Arizona.
Yep.
Which, you know, yesterday was the one where you figured it'd be a get-back game for Arizona, and then Calamari with a terrible interception in the second quarter. And, a
couple of them.
You know. Next thing you know, Seattle's just dominating that game again.
Well, and part of their 4-game win streak was also the win here, and then the other week they played the Jets. And by the way, we're down by double digits before rallying back to win that football game. But Seattle gets their comeuppance unless they're real. Like, they're going to have the opportunity to prove themselves the next 2 weeks. They host Green Bay and Minnesota. Let's see what we're talking about after that. And, of course, none of it matters if the Niners don't play well on Thursday.